Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Well, welcome, welcome, welcome again. We're glad to have you at Your Place Love Connection every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Would you please join us in our song, scripture, and prayer?
Thank you all for joining us on Love Christian Church. Today we'll be singing This Day. Give us this day our daily bread. You said you would supply our every need according to your riches. I have but to ask, and thou shalt receive. To go from here and share this love you gave to me, and help them find their way, the way to truth and faith, so they can be free like me. Lord, we need your love, and Lord, we need your peace, and Lord, we need your joy this day. This day I pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Our scripture is the 7th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew. Verses 7 through 11, and I'll be reading through the Common English Bible. It reads, asking you will receive, search and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, whosoever seeks finds, and everyone who knocks, the door is opened. Who among you will give your children a stone when they ask for bread? Or who give them a snake when they ask for a fish? If you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, you should treat people the same way that you want people to treat you. This is the law and the prophet.
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. God, we come before you tonight. We're so grateful for your presence in the Bible study. God, help us to pray, to lean and depend on you. Strengthen us. We pray for those that are listening and participating, and all those that we might touch. God, we need your strength. Ours runs out. And we need your direction, for we often get lost. And God, forgive us, for we often make mistakes. But we thank you for tonight and for the opportunity just to share and to learn from you and your spirit and from each other as you direct us. Lord, thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We want to thank Mark Bryant for the song and Gregory Bryant for the scripture. And again, Dr. Nutz, we thank you so much for that wonderful prayer. As we come tonight, we are closing our study on the topic, pray and don't worry, or worry and don't pray. This was our topic for the month of July, and we're so excited about the fact that Brother Eric Jefferson has been helping us, giving us insight from what God has been giving him on these texts. And we focused the first part of the month on what you get with prayer. Excuse me. The first one was, as I said, pray and worry and don't worry, and worry and don't pray. And then the next title of what we looked at was, you know, we got to see how Jesus set the stage for prayer. And then he asked us the question, what do you get with prayer or worry? And then Brother Jefferson brought it home when he said, can prayer change your situation, or can worrying change your situation? We had to look at that to determine what was most beneficial for us. And then last week we talked about why is prayer better than worrying. And tonight it culminates, it ends with, are all prayers answered? And that's where we will deal with tonight. Are all prayers answered? And so as you prepare to get your scriptures together, we'll be looking at James 5:13-18, John 17:1-26, possibly Mark 14:32-40-42, 2 Kings 21-6, Ephesians 6:18, and the supporting text, of course, Philippians 4:6-7. Just wanting you to know, we probably will not hit all of those scriptures, but they are scriptures you can use as you are preparing and doing your own personal Bible study and review. At this time, I want to thank again Mr. Eric Barnett Jefferson for the work and the wonderful leadership he's given, and turn the floor over to him now as I speak.
Thank you, Dr. Susie. I'd also like for us to get a roll call, if we could, to see who's all with us this evening. I know we have Mark Bryant, Dr. Nooks, Gregory Bryant, Jamie Beavers.
Gregory Lissman.
Oh, okay. I apologize for that.
I'm sorry.
And
Sean Brown.
Good evening, Sean.
Hi, how are you doing? How's everyone?
We're doing well. And Jamie. So, anyone else? Dr. Susie is, thank you. Dr. Susie has given us a great review of the month, and I've been humbled and honored to lead this month's lesson. And when we're done tonight, I hope that we can all leave with the benefit that it's all about prayer, and God hears prayers and answers prayers, and we know that that's what we should be doing, because in our second and third week, we talked about we were not made for worry. We were not made. Our physical beings were not made to carry the stress of worrying and what it does to our bodies and stuff. So having that as an underlying statement, I do want to read for us our supporting text, which says, it's Philippians chapter 4, 6, and 7. This is the New Living Translation. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guide your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. I think that sums it all up. But tonight I do want to look at all prayers answered. And as always, I want to offer up my small prayer to God for guiding and directing us through this process, and then take a look at the definition that I've been using for the month. God, Lord Almighty, we, your humble servants, come before you this 29th day of July 2014, thanking you for your kindness and mercy and how you have affected our lives and been a part of our lives, asking that you would continue to do so as we go through this study this evening, Father, for though we take an hour of studying your word and fellowship and conversation, Father, we all are mindful that you are with us all day long through every action, every deed, every thought, every reaction. And so as we look to study about prayer, Father, we ask that you would calm our fears in our heart for us to know that it really is about prayer and a conversation with you, and that you are justified to hear us through your Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life on Calvary's cross, because we know we've all fallen short and not come to full relation of your glory except through your Son, Jesus Christ. So we thank you for him, and we thank you for your love, your unfailing love, and your righteousness and truth, and ask that you would be with us as we study your word. In your Son, Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
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 So I've been using the Easton Bible Dictionary, and their definition of prayer is a conversation with God, the intercourse of the soul with God, not in contemplation or meditation, but in direct address to him. Prayer may be oral or mental, occasional or constant, ejaculatory or formal. It is a beseeching the Lord, pouring out the soul before the Lord, praying and crying to heaven, seeking unto God and making supplication, drawing near to God, bowing the knees. Prayer presupposes a belief in the personality of God, his ability and willingness to hold intercourse with us, his personal control of all things and of all his creatures and all their actions. Acceptable prayer must be sincere, offered with reverence and godly fear, with a humble sense of our own insignificance as creatures and of our own unworthiness as sinners, with earnest importunity and with unhastening submission to the divine will. Prayer must also be offered in the faith that God is and is the hearer and answerer of prayer, and that he will fulfill his word, ask and you shall receive, in the name of Christ. So tonight we want to look at, is all prayer answered? And I posed that question last week before we ended our call, that we would be looking at that. So I want to start in a roundabout way, and bear with me, it'll all be tied in. But let's look at James 5, 13 through 18. James 5, 13 through 18. Does anyone have that that you can read for us? James 5, 13 through 18.
Yes, I've got it.
Could you read that?
Are any among you suffering? Okay. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. How far did you want me to read?
Through 18, actually.
Okay. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous, powerful and effective. Elijah was human, was a human being like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest.
Thank you. So, Dr. Nook, as you read that, what really jumps out at you in those passages?
The power of prayer, the effectiveness of prayer. If we are suffering, if we are sick, if we are cheerful,
if we are sinful,
we're sinful. If we need help, if we need to be forgiven, we should pray. Pray to God and pray for one another. Confess our sins to one another. I mean, it's just highlighting how important it is to pray and how powerful prayer is. And I think sometimes we feel like prayer is superficial and it really doesn't do much. We kind of take it lightly and don't really give enough time to it and don't believe that things are going to happen as a result of it.
So let me ask this question of the group. Why do you think that is? Because Dr. Nooks makes a great point. We take it superficial and we seem to go through the motions. But why do you think that is? And he made a statement that I absolutely agree with, that you know, people don't think it's going to change anything. But yet we say it. Well, pray for me, pray for Lester, pray for this. And before we answer that question, I had a sermon I was listening to, and the guy was talking about in West Texas that it was dry, and people have been talking about, oh, we need to pray for rain, we need to pray for rain. So they started praying, you know, every Wednesday and Sunday. And the old deacon came out there one Sunday and said, well, y'all praying, but y'all need to stop because I don't see any of y'all coming to church with an umbrella. You're not thinking things going to change. So why is that?
I see in the text the key word, the righteous, and then it talks about let if anyone that is a sinner, let him go to the righteous and have them pray for him. So, I mean, it sounds like that's what it's saying in the text. And the question that comes out all the time, I hear this all the time, does God hear a sinner's prayer? You know, that's what I want to know. Like we're talking about the God in here, and the scripture is saying that the prayer of the righteous is effective. So does that mean that the sinner's prayer is not effective?
Well, this is Eric, and I'm going to say it is because I was a sinner and still am, and I fall short every day, and he hears my prayers.
Amen.
And as the ultimate sinner, he heard my prayer enough to convict me, to convert me, and forgive me.
There has to be an element.
Disagree with what you say,
God.
When you speak from personal experience, I want to hear what everybody has to say on that.
Dr. Nooks, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say that there has to be an element of belief in God and faith in God in order for us to even go to God in prayer. So, you know, we all mess up. But when we believe in God, if we didn't believe in God, then our prayer would not really be effective. Why would we even go to God? So I think if you have a belief in God and a faith in God, then that makes you effective, an effective prayer person. That makes your prayer effective. Because you are not depending on yourself, but you're depending on and leaning on God for the answer when you're talking to God and communicating with God.
This is Sean, and I'm just wanting to say that I agree with that. I think people, a lot of times, they feel like their prayers aren't being answered because they're not coming to God in sincerity and in truth. You know, God knows the truth regardless if we say it or not. And so, you know, we have to, like Dr. Nix was saying, we have to be honest. We have to believe. And we have to be genuine and sincere in our prayers. And I believe when that happens, God hears and he does answer those prayers. He says, if you pray according to his will, then his answer to your prayer is yes and amen. But you have to know what his will is. So if you asking him something outside of his will, then the answer may be no. It may be yes, but it may be no. But it's definitely a yes and amen if it's according to his will. But to get anything going in this, you have to go to him in believing in truth and honesty and genuineness, and then he will hear you and, you know, work on your behalf.
And to go along with what Sean was saying, in 1 John 5 and 14, it says, and this is the boldness we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have obtained the request made of him.
I'm going to say that that was a good answer to the question I asked. And also knowing that since Jesus had died on the cross, the sinner can go boldly to the throne of grace and get help when he needs it.
Amen. Amen. So this text clearly tells us that prayers can be answered and will be answered. And it even gives us the example of Elijah, who was human, prayed earnestly.
Okay,
yes.
Can you get your...
Yeah, who prayed earnestly that it may not rain, and it didn't, and then prayed again that it would rain, and it did.
When you want to let me in there, this is Dr. Susie. So
go ahead, Dr.
Let me know. A lot of people want to know, can they be heard by God? That's a real, real serious question. Psalm 17:6 says this. It says that, and I think it's referring to a person who's wanting to become a child of God. And if we want to become a child of God, then God hears and answers our prayers. It says, I call on you, O God, for you will answer me. Give ear to me and hear my prayer. And I think that just opposed to scriptures that say this, and I'm going to read the scriptures, and because the scriptures speak clearly, it says in John 9:31, God, it says, I'm trying to get the scripture. I think it says, I'm trying to get it to you here. That God will answer believers, it says in Luke 11:9-10, asking it will be given to you, seeking you will not, knocking the door will be open. But it's also when we talk about unbelievers, there are some things that says, in 1 Peter 3:12, it says, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So there are scriptures, I think, that says that, you know, if a person is doing evil, that their sins, because believers have their sins forgiven, but those who are not are separate,
you know, who don't believe are separated from God by their sin in Isaiah 59:2. So that makes it real challenging for people to wonder, you know, well, if the scripture says this, does that mean that, you know, God won't hear? And I think Eric made a real point in that if we are choosing to do evil, to be in evil, and that is our stance, versus a person who is seeking God, I think it's a totally different thing. And I think this, the delineation that the word is trying to make is when God knows your heart, we don't, you know, so we can't go around judging saying, oh, you evil, you not. But God knows the individual's heart. And I think that person that's petitioning to God to hear, to have God hear their prayer of repentance, or to have God, you know, as Eric was saying, that's how he was converted. If he wouldn't have, he wouldn't have been able to be converted if God wasn't listening to him. So those are that's I wanted to bring attention to the fact that there are scriptures that do say that if you're evil and focused in wickedness, then God will not hear your prayer.
This is Mark. I think.
Go ahead, Mark.
Okay, there are two things that I want to, I guess, observe. Because many who may hear this may think, well, my heart's not right, and therefore when I pray, I can't get a prayer through, or I don't have the right to pray because of my misdeeds. And I think, as Dr. Susie said and some of the others have said, is that, you know, God knows your heart. God knows what you have done and will do. And God will answer your prayer. But I think to my second observation is that when one prays, many times we don't get that answer back immediately, so we question our right or our ability to pray. And then we don't always observe how God responds. Is that in a whisper? Is that in a voice? Is that in a miracle act that happens? I think, you know, many times we have to pray to even understand how God will respond to us. You know, it's, you know, I'll pass.
I was listening, and I think that we need to understand that when Jesus died on the cross, he made a new covenant with all humanity. And in that covenant, he died for all the sins of the whole world, of the whole world. So David in the Psalms said a broken, talks about repentance, and a broken and a contrite spirit, our God will not turn away from. So it's all about the spirit of man, and when God blew into Adam or into his creation, he blew into him the spirit, his spirit. We all, whether we are sinners or not, or have been saved, we all have in us the spirit of God, and we can't escape. Even if we go into hell and make our beds there, God is still there and will hear us. So the prayer of the righteous man availeth much.
I agree. This is Dr. Susie. I agree it's about your heart and it's about your spirit. But when we come before the Lord, we have to always, even those of us who are in good relationships, admit that we are sinners. That's why Eric gave us the prayer to pray when how Jesus taught us to pray. You know, we have to admit that we are a sinner, that we're in need of forgiveness, and that we repent before we come before Christ, because what we bring to the throne of filthy rags so that God can cleanse and receive what we say through the blood of Jesus. You know, if it weren't for us, you know, that's the barriers we have that Christ bridged because of his death on the cross. So when we believe that Christ is the one and only way and that he died for our sins and was raised from the dead, we can, when we confess with our mouth and believe in our hearts that Jesus is Lord and Savior and confess him to people who are lost, then we know for sure that our prayers are heard. When we don't have that relationship with God, then we pray and ask for that relationship, and God is sure to hear us. And as Eric was saying, because he was in a repentant state, he was turning away from his sin, turning to God, asking God to change his life. God had an ear. He says, I call on you, O God, for you will answer me. Give ear to me and hear my prayer. And that's exactly what God did. God will always hear those who are seeking God's face.
Also, he said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it.
In the right relationship.
And in God's, in the will of God.
And yes, this is Eric. I would agree that in the right relationship and in God's will. I wanted to, in fact, you're exactly right. We're not going to get to all of these, but I did want to look at John 17, 1 through 26. I know it's kind of lengthy, but for me, it gives us another model, if you will, or relationship for prayer. That's John 17, 1 through 26.
This is truly the Lord's Prayer here.
Yeah, so can someone read that for me? That's why I picked it there, Dr. Knooks. To show what Jesus prayed for us, in all honesty. John 17, 1 through 26.
Please repeat the scripture.
John 17, 1 through 26. And I really, we don't have
I've read that, I have
stuff.
It.
Okay, could you read that, Dr. Susie?
Yes, John 17, 1 through 26. This is
right.
When Jesus is praying. And he says, after Jesus said this, he looked to heaven and
is he still there?
We lost you, Dr. Susan.
Okay, who else has it?
I have it.
Could you read it?
After Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that your Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people to give eternal life to whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me. They have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you. They have believed that you sent me. I'm asking on their behalf. I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one, as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not only of them, and none of them, not one of them was lost, except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I'm coming to you, and I speak these things in the world, so that they may have me, my joy, made complete in themselves. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I did not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one, and we are one, as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you. And these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them.
Thank you, Dr. Nook. I put that in there specifically because that is the prayer that Jesus prayed to his Father for his disciples. But I take it a step further of my own insight is that it was prayed for all believers and all people that would come to God. And that prayer has been answered. That is a prayer that God answered to Jesus, that he has kept us in this world. That Jesus prayed for him to keep us in this world in spite of all that goes on. And I just thought that that was awesome.
Hey, Eric, this is John. I'm going to interrupt you, but could you tell me again what scripture he just read?
He read John 17, verses 1 through 26.
Okay, thank you.
This is Dr. Susie. Can anybody hear me?
We can now. Thanks for coming back.
I didn't leave. I kept talking, and I don't know what happened to the phone. But anyway,
we couldn't hear you.
John 9:31 also says, in support of what we were trying, we needed a scripture to be able to support that. I hate leaving it without having a scripture. And John 30:30 says, the man answered and said to him, talking about the Pharisees, well, here is an amazing thing, that you do not know where he's from, and yet he opened my eyes. And he's talking about the Pharisees. You know, he went to report himself to the Pharisees. And he says, we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing and does God's will, he hears him. And that's John 9:31. So that's a scripture to support what it is we're trying to say.
Amen.
As well.
Amen.
Amen.
So group, I had, and in the interest of time, I'm going to speed this up a little bit. So I had Mark 14:32-34, and, you know, that was Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and we're talking about are all prayers answered, and we know that Jesus prayed that the cup would be taken away from him, not his will, but God's will, and he prayed that prayer three times, and yet Christ still had to go to the cross. But I submit to the listeners that Christ did get God's peace on what he was about to do. And I think so many times that's the part that we miss in our prayers, is that we may not get the answer right away, or we may not even get the answer we want, but there should come a peace in that process by which we know that God is doing what God needs to do. And we should accept that and understand that and thank him for that. Because all prayers that we ask for may not be beneficial for us. It may be what we want, but may not be beneficial for us. And so that's why I had that scripture in there. So that was a prayer that technically people would say, well, that prayer wasn't answered. Christ still went to the cross. Well, we knew Christ was going to the cross. But through that process, it shows that he got a peace in his spirit, if you will, in his human spirit, because we know that Christ was man and God, in his human spirit, that there was a peace that God's will was going to be done, and he was okay with that. Didn't mean he liked it, but he was okay with that. Any comments on that?
I think that's important. This is James. That, and I think somebody said it earlier. I think it was maybe Mark. It was talking about the fact that, you know, people are trying to hear God in different ways, or they hear God in different ways, and or they don't hear God in the way they want to hear God. But yet God moves in different ways with different people. And I think that calmness in your spirit, I think, is a good indication that God hears us and answers prayer. And I know, Eric, you have said earlier that sometimes the answer is no to what we want, and that's hard for us to accept. But that's fundamental to our walk with God, is that we don't get everything we want. And sometimes what we want is not what is expedient or what God needs to have done. And a part of who we are is to be submissive to God's will. And we really need to learn that as people of God, is that we don't have to have our way all the time. And,
absolutely.
And to be submissive to God's will, go where God wants us to go and to do what God wants us to do. And that is hard for us to do.
I don't know. The scriptures does say you, if you delight yourself in him, that he will give you the desires of your heart. So I still believe that God will give you what you need, but he also gives you some of the things that you want also. If you ask, and he says, ask anything in my name and I will do it. So I don't know. What do you think about that?
Oh, I agree with that. I think God does give us some things to see that we want. There's some things that are hard for us to deal with, and those are the ones where God says no, and he wants you to go in a different way.
I think God also says not yet. We may not be ready for it.
That's so true.
Yeah, well, this is Eric, and I would agree, but I think that's all according to what God's will is, because, you know, my own personal testimony, I was looking for a job, and I knew I should have had that job, but that wasn't the job that God wanted me to have, because he saw fit for me to be someplace else doing something else that I couldn't see that would have had more impact for his kingdom. And so, you know, yeah, he will give you the things that you need as you're in his will and in the desires of your heart. And I'm a firm believer, and it's just my personal belief, that as long as it matches up with his will of what he needs to manifest his kingdom, because if we say that we are children and servants of God, then we need to be trying to find a way to manifest his kingdom and not our own agenda.
Amen. This is Dr. Susie. Go ahead, Eric. I know you were still talking. Go ahead.
No, I'm done with that point, Dr. Susie.
Yeah, I was just wanting to say, we're talking about what it is, how we perceive things, and I also think it's for those of us who are seeking the kingdom, doing God's will, sometimes according to what happened with God answering Paul's prayer when he was struggling with sin and God answered his prayer, understanding so that we won't be deprived of learning more about God's grace. In 2 Corinthians 12:7-9, it says, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that was given to me. And I really don't love this scripture, because it's so real. It says, it was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness.
In your weakness.
Most gladly there will rather glory in my infirmity that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So, you know, in reality, we don't always get what we want. And when, you remember when David had his, and Bathsheba had the child, and they prayed for the child? You know, the child, you know, God said no. But, you know, we have to always understand, we have to try to keep our relationship right before the Lord when we are asking. I think many times, Eric, I've heard you say God is not a cosmic genie.
No.
And we, you know, gimme. And so as we keep our life right before the Lord. Go ahead.
Amen. And to follow up on David and Bathsheba, and so that next child that David and Bathsheba had was Solomon, who was king and was the wisest man in earth. So, you know, there's a lot to that. But I want to move on. I do want to get to this next scripture, 2 Kings, and I've got it, so I'll go ahead and read. This is 2 Kings 1 through 6. About the time Hezekiah became deathly ill, and the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, went to visit him, he gave the king this message. This is what the Lord said. Set your affairs in order, for you are going to die. You will not recover from this illness. When Hezekiah heard this, he turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. Remember, O Lord, how I have always tried to be faithful to you and do what was pleasing in your sight. Then he broke down and wept bitterly. But before Isaiah had left the middle courtyard, this message came to him from the Lord. Go back to Hezekiah, the leader of my people, tell him, this is what the Lord, the God of your ancestor David, says. I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will heal you, and in 3 days from now you will get out of bed and go to the temple of the Lord. I will add 15 years to your life, and I will rescue you in this city from the king of Assyria. I will do this to defend my honor for the sake of my servant David.
Mm-hmm.
So not only was Hezekiah's prayer answered, tears seen, but he even got more than he asked for in his prayer.
Right.
Without even asking.
Yeah, the Lord knows what we need even before we ask it. So we know that from the Bible study tonight that it is true. God does answer prayer. He answers prayers from the sinners who are broken and contrite, who are in prayers of repentance, and then he answers our prayers, and he answers all prayers with yes, no, or not yet, or maybe.
We also
Amen.
Have to understand, this is Dr. Susie, though Hezekiah was extended 15 years, it was a very difficult 15 years. So sometimes God's will is better than what we desire, and God may know what's best, you know. So, you know.
It was extended 15 years, absolutely, but also the Lord told him that he would rescue. He said, I will have 15 years of life and rescue this city from the king of Assyria, and I will do this mm-hmm. to defend my honor
mm-hmm.
for the sake of my servant David.
Mm-hmm.
So Hezekiah didn't ask for that. Hezekiah was just praying for his life, and shed tears for his life was getting ready to end.
You know what's interesting even about that story is that Hezekiah's son, Manasseh, who acted like he didn't even know God, you know, came to a point where when the Assyrians did take over that and took him out, put thorns over his head, put a hook in his nose to go to prison. And then Manasseh prayed to God, and God still heard his prayer. So God, even at that point, even when he went against everything that he'd been brought up, been taught, been told, God still gave him a second chance.
Amen, brother. And I want to leave you with this thought in the last scripture, is that some of us are living off the prayers of some people that went before us.
Amen.
I'm a witness.
Amen.
This is my last scripture for us, and this is Ephesians 6 18, and this is where I'll leave before turning back over to Dr. Susie. Ephesians 6:18. Pray at all times and on every occasion in the power of the Holy Spirit. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all Christians everywhere. So we don't even need to consider worrying. It tells us to pray at all times and on every occasion in the power of the Holy Spirit to be persistent in our prayers, not our worries, to be persistent in our prayers and to pray for all Christians everywhere. So I submit to y'all before going into praise reports and prayer requests that we serve an awesome God who hears our prayers, who does not want us worrying, because when we worry, we effectively take God out of the mix. And he doesn't need to be out of the mix. He should be the center of all. Dr. Susie, thank you for the opportunity to lead your group this month.
Amen. We are so grateful to the Lord for the word of the Lord that you've given us. We're going to go into our portion of praise and prayer requests. For those of you who would like to call in to have prayer requests, our number is 646-478-4932. Are there any praise reports and prayer requests from the group?
Yeah, this is Eric. I got one that last week I told y'all that my mother-in-law had had surgery, and she got a call, and they said that there was a problem, and she needed to go back and get another MRI and all of that. And they did the MRI, and one person read it and called my mother-in-law, told her she had the same problem again. But she went to the doctor, and the doctors read it, and she is recovering fine. She is healing well. They don't see any additional issues or problems. And it's just a good thing for my family, my wife's family. And so we're very, very thankful to God for that. Prayer concerns, I need you to pray for my paternal grandfather. He lost my grandmother about 4 years ago, and he's kind of really been distraught went into his primary physician's office for a checkup and made the statement, I just ought to go home and blow my brains out, and because they were treating him for prostate cancer. And so now we've got him in an institution where he can get examined, but we don't believe that he's going to go back to his home. So where my dad is making arrangements for alternative care for him at this point, and just want to pray for him on, no matter how bad it gets, we need to turn to God and seek God, and through prayer, if the situation is not going to get better, and that's God's will, that we will find the peace in that situation, and I think that's most appropriate for him at this time. So I want to lift up John Scott is his name. As we are praying, and as you pray, brothers and sisters, through your week, that you'll remember him.
Amen. Well, this is Simon. I just wanted my prayer request and my praise report is kind of the same thing. I have been in my prayer request. I've been asking for God to give me revelation, knowledge, and understanding of my life and his will and just his word. And that has been coming forth. He's been revealing some things to me, not in the things that I thought he would be, but it's still being revealed and giving me understanding all the same. So I thank God and praise God for that, hearing and answering that prayer. My prayer request and moving forward is that that would continue, that God would continue to give me revelation, knowledge, and understanding of his will and what I am to do with my life and his will for me. And also I want to lift up in prayer my niece is getting married this weekend. I pray that her future husband well, first of all, that it'd be God's will that they get married, and that he would bless that union. So that is my prayer request for her. Her name is Morgan Chilton. And so I just thank God for my family, and I just pray that he would continue to lift us up and keep us healthy and well, as always. And I just thank you guys for all your support as well.
Amen. Is there another?
This is Mark. I'm so thankful for tonight's lesson. It reminds me at all times to pray and to rest in prayer, to rest in the knowledge of God will always give the solution and the resolution. I ask prayer for each and every one of us in regard to our careers, our jobs, our businesses. Special prayer for Lester and his business and his family. Special prayers for my daughter and her mother. And special prayer for my parents.
Amen. Is there another? Dr. Nooks or anyone else? Greg, anybody? This is Dr. Susie. Then I want to lift up prayers for my son James. He's seeking a car, and we're just asking that God would lead him to the correct car and the one that he has. If the Lord wants him to keep it, that he would, as A1 is working on it, that they would be able to fix whatever it is that is not right. It's a nice-looking car on the outside, I'm told, you know, externally. But it seems to have a few things going wrong with it. But God can, we ask him that all of that would be okay and that we would be able to have a working vehicle for James. Also, same problem with Sydney. The van is not doing well, and we're asking God to help us to get the answers to the dilemmas with the car so that they can be safe as they travel up and down the road. Also asking that God would bless me and the ventures that I'm involved in, trying to be a part of kingdom building, that people, we find a way to set up for people who want to give to extend the life of our show, and that those of us who are on the Bible study would be conscientious and bring someone with us as we participate in taking the good news out. Are there others? If not, let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, we come before you right now, and we're just asking you to lead God and direct us as we seek your face. There's so many people out there right now, Lord, that are looking for an answer. And, Lord, we learned tonight through the Bible study that even those who are falling short of the glory of God can turn to you and request that you heal their lives and believe in their hearts, that you will bring the answers to them. We're praying for those who are hurting, those who are struggling right now and who want to give up. We're just asking that you tie a knot in the string you're holding on to and plead out to the Lord for help, and God will be there. We're asking for those who've lifted prayers, Eric's mother-in-law, his grandfather, Brother Scott. We're thanking God for Sean's mother. We're praising God for revelation knowledge. We're lifting up Carmen Settle that she's asked for prayer, and Mark and his family and his children. We also ask a blessing for Dr. Nooks and his family, Lester Carver and his family, and, of course, my family. We are trusting you. We ask that you lead, God, and direct us, provide food for those who are hungry, provide shelter for those who are in need. Lord, right now there are people who need a healing that can't afford the doctor. In the name of Jesus, we're just asking that you bless them right now, for we know the power of prayer, and we're trusting and depending on you to do that which doctors can't do and no one else. And so, God, you are their God. You are the one who can give them what they seek. Lord, listen to their prayers and help us to remember not to worry, because our prayers are that which give us the sustenance that we need. We ask these blessings as we trust in you. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.